The Criminal Justice and Public Safety Subcommittee will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Byrd.
Here.
Vice Chair Brannon.
Here.
Ranking Member Grieco. Representatives Barnaby.
Here.
Boussada Cabrera.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Fetterhoff.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Hart. Hart. Learned.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Roach.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Tuck.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to remind you to please silence your electronic devices. Also, as a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. We have nine bills on the agenda today. I think we have a good mix of criminal justice and public safety, so I hope the discussion and debate is lively. And to kick it off, we are going to have House Bill 1169, Unlicensed Contracting, by Representative McLean on behalf of Representative Stevenson. Representative McLean, welcome, and you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Byrd and members of the committee. I am pinch hitting for Representative Stevenson today, but it is a topic that I have some familiarity with, as I am a building contractor. So good. Thank you for allowing me to present HB 1169, Unlicensed Contracting. Construction fraud can cost homeowners thousands of dollars for work that is never done, left incomplete, or completely defective, requiring it to be repaired or completely redone. Current law prohibits an unlicensed person from engaging in a variety of specified contracting activities, such as engaging in the business or acting in the capacity of a contractor, falsely claiming to be a licensed contractor, performing work without a building permit, violating a local ordinance relating to the licensing of contractors. House Bill 1169 seeks to deter unlicensed contracting activity by making the criminal penalty for someone engaging in the business of unlicensed contracting vary by the amount of the contract price. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, members. Are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill as presented? All right, seeing none, there is one amendment, barcode number 584575. Representative McLean, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this amendment is a technical amendment, and it clarifies that only an unlicensed person who is engaged in the business or acting in the capacity of a contractor is subject to the enhanced penalties provided in the bill.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none, public testimony on the amendment? All right, seeing none, debate on the amendment? No debate. You're recognized to close.
White close.
All right. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Yay. All opposed. All right. We will show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. All right. Brian Lambert, Cotney Construction Law. All right. Is a proponent of the bill. And Clayton Osteen. Also a proponent of the bill. Any other further public testimony? All right, seeing none, members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill. All right, we're way past lunch. Everybody should have had their Coke and coffee. All right, seeing no debate, Representative McLean, you recognize the close on the bill.
I think I'll wave close.
Having waved close on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 1169 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brannon. Boussada Cabrera.
Yes.
Bush.
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder? Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show House Bill 1169 reported favorably as amended. Thank you, Representative McLean.
Thank you.
You'll let Representative Stevenson know.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Next up, we have PCS for HB 325, Controlled Substance Offenses, by Representative Plakin. Representative Plakin, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee, for hearing the bill today. As we know, opioid addiction is a well-known and very complex problem facing our state. It's another kind of epidemic, you might say. To combat this type of epidemic, in 2019, Governor DeSantis created the statewide task force on opioid abuse to study the issue and propose best practices and legislative proposals to reduce the harm caused by opioid abuse. Sema County Sheriff Dennis Lima is the chair of that task force and is my sheriff. PCS for HB 325 implements two of the recommendations made by the statewide task force on opioid abuse, specific to law enforcement by first adding methamphetamine to the list of controlled substances, which can serve as the basis for a first-degree felony murder conviction if a person dies from an overdose, and secondly, enhancing the penalty for sale of a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a substance abuse treatment facility. That's the bill.
Thank you, members. Other questions on the bill? Questions for the bill sponsor? All right, seeing none, are there amendments? There are no amendments. Public testimony. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Lorette Phillipson. Okay, so just to be clear, because on the form it says you're a proponent, so are you changing it to you want to be in opposition to the bill?
Correct.
All right, thank you. We'll let the record reflect that. Christine Koster? Okay, well, so the form says proponent, so we'll make that reflect an opponent of the bill. Great. Madeline Klein? All right, Ms. Klein opposes it, so we'll reflect that on the form that it's changed to oppose. Lori Figueroa? You said opposition? Okay, so we'll make that change and reflect that on the form. Shannon Pettitfrere? Thank you. Okay, waves in opposition. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. All right, that is all of the public testimony. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on the bill? All right, seeing none. Members, we are in debate. Any debate on the bill? Debate? All right. Well, I'll just comment that Representative Plakin, I appreciate you working with the committee on this, and the opioid epidemic is just that. In fact, I heard yesterday driving back over that I think there had been 90,000 overdose deaths in 2020, which is just a huge increase of not in Florida, but nationwide, which I'm sure a significant number of those are in Florida. So I commend you for your continued work on this issue. So with that, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The previous version, before it was PCS, had some components in it that had generated some controversy. So those were removed in the PCS. I've not heard any opposition to the current form, and I would say to the women in the room here, I'll be standing out to the side. If they'd like to express their concerns in any way that it could be improved, I'd be happy to talk to them or anyone else that would have concerns with this. And I thank you for hearing the bill today. I urge your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Plaking. Having closed on the PCS, Lindsay, please call the roll on PCS for HB 325 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon? Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder? Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Bird?
Yes.
15 yays, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Show PCS for HB 325 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Next up, we have CS for HB 639, Operation and Safety of Motor Vehicles and Vessels by Representative Soroy. Representative, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. House Bill 639 contains the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's agency package. This comprehensive piece of legislation is aimed at boating safety and environmental protection. I'd like to spend a few minutes unpacking the provisions of this bill for you. First, let's talk about derelict vessels. Those of us representing districts along the coast and intercoastal waterway are likely familiar with this issue. Derelict vessels represent a danger to commercial and recreational boaters. They're a danger to the safe navigation and represent a serious environmental hazard, especially to the growth of seagrass and marine life. The key here when it comes to derelict boats is to be proactive by creating pathways to removing a vessel before it sinks to the bottom, taking with it fuel, fiberglass, and waste into our waters. This bill creates the new designation of nuisance vessel. For a boat to be designated as a nuisance vessel, it must receive more than three at-risk violations in an 18-month period. It's important to note that a boat being designated as a nuisance vessel will allow authorities to move it before it becomes a derelict vessel and sinks or deteriorates to the point of causing damage to the environment. The removal and destruction of a derelict vessel is estimated to cost 10 times more than the cost of removing a vessel still floating, but merely in a state of disrepair. The bill would allow FWC or other law enforcement agency to relocate an at-risk vessel 20 feet or more away from a mangrove habitat, upland habitat, or other sensitive area, and we update the vessel removal process to reflect a 21-day notification period and an administrative hearing to preserve due process. The bill further authorizes the establishment of a vessel turn-in program, a preventative measure in which owners can turn the title of their vessel over to the state before it becomes derelict. Other important highlights of the bill include the addition of private marinas to the no anchoring buffer zone, rulemaking authority to establish spring protection zones. I'm very proud to have worked with Chair Engolia on that item. Boater safety requirements that I'll get into briefly in just a moment. And the bill also includes a move-over law on the water, similar to what we have on our highways today. When you come upon a construction barge or an emergency vehicle or law enforcement, it would compel the boat owner to take reasonable action to move over to create some space and to limit the wake that is created. Finally, the bill establishes a temporary protection zone to assist in the launch and recovery of spaceflight assets. And Mr. Chairman, I do have an amendment.
See, we do have an amendment, barcode 192661. Representative Sorori, you are recognized to explain the amendment, or do we want to go back and do questions? So let's do this first. Let me back up for a moment. Were you finished presenting the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I think the amendments may address some of the questions that I anticipate having.
Well, let's just do this. Let's go ahead and just take any questions based upon what you've explained thus far. Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Lerner, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have three quick questions, and I'll come back to you for each of them.
You're recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lines 1065 and 1069 in the bill, this might be what your amendment is getting at, but does this allow local municipalities to limit freedom of navigation through the intercoastal waterways?
You're recognized. You can.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think that's something, that's some language that we're looking at to work on. You know, one of the things that we want to try to address is municipalities having the ability to identify mooring areas, potential other areas where you'd want to have an exclusion zone or some kind of a slow speed zone. I think there are some things that we can hash out there to make the language a little bit more clear, and I'm committed to continuing to work on that and would welcome your suggestions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secondly, lines 889 and 892, I'm just curious about, this is about the derelict vessel piece you mentioned, and I totally understand why you're doing it. My only question is, why are we singling out Monroe County? There's derelict vessels all over the state. What's the rationale for not doing that statewide?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the question. The situation in Monroe County is unique, and I think the legislation speaks to the 90-day rule, where after a 90-day period, you have to move your vessel. And I think that's to accomplish a couple of things. And again, you know, we can work on the language, and with your experience in the Navy, I would welcome your suggestions and help. But I think that by looking at that 90-day issue, you're accomplishing a couple of things. First of all, can the vessel still get underway? Does it have a functioning propulsion system? If not, then it may be in some kind of state of disrepair or neglect. If that's the case, then if you have a storm that comes through, that vessel that can no longer move has the potential to break loose from its mooring and to do damage elsewhere. I think the other issue that we have to look at some point, and I'll discuss it a little further when I get into the amendments, is if that vessel is there over that 90-day period, you also have the issue of any waste that the vessel is producing and either holding in a holding tank or discharging you know, into that waters where it's been sitting for 90 days. So there's a lot to take a look at there, and I'm committed to continuing to work on it.
Okay, Thank you. And last question, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for all that. I'm looking forward to working with you. I did a boarding once on a vessel that was stranded in the middle of the ocean. We had to end up sinking it, so I totally relate. But this gets back to a conversation you and I had in a prior committee, and I got to hash this thing out. That's line 437, the space debris.
Yes.
And I'm very concerned about whether this is space debris of terrestrial or extraterrestrial origin, because I've seen the movies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, that is a, I know that keeps you up at night. You know, that language is specific to what we encountered off of Pensacola when we had a SpaceX capsule land over the summer. And you know, those capsules carry propellant. They carry various materials that are harmful. And so what we wanted to do is work with our local law enforcement partners to make sure that we're creating a safe zone in which, and it's only going to become a more common issue for Florida as we move forward. We want to have a safe area for those spacecraft that are returning to be able to land and be recovered without boaters swarming the area.
But ET is still not allowed in the Sunshine State. Is that correct? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, Rep.
Any other questions? Yes, Representative Maney, you're recognized.
Does one of your amendments address this issue of boater safety classes for people who have been boating for years and who were born before January 1 of 1988? Or will it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the good question. No, that's an area we need to work on. I'm continuing to have conversations with FWC and stakeholders. I think that the amendments that I'll be able to provide in just a moment won't get into that specific issue today, but I do think we begin to address some of the concerns that have been raised about the education requirement. And again, I would welcome, with the knowledge you bring to the table, I'd welcome your help in trying to craft something that works for all of us.
Thank you very much.
Members, any other questions? I do have a clarifying question based on one that Representative Learned asked. Because there's an issue, or the bill addresses anchoring in Monroe County, but the derelict vessels portion, does that cover derelict vessels all over the state?
Statewide, yes,
okay,
sir.
So that's that. The derelict vessels is not confined to Monroe, that's statewide?
Yes, sir.
Great, thank you. All right, now we're going to go to the amendment, barcode 192661. Representative Schroer, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned, the amendments are a product of working with stakeholders, and we are on the course to, I hope, reach a consensus on some of these items. The amendment recognizes a valid international certificate of competency or out-of-state boating ID with the completion of a boating safety education course that meets or exceeds the National Association of Boating Law Administrators and acceptable forms of identification. So basically, we're saying if you've got that international certificate or you've got a safe boating certificate that's been produced in another state, Florida will recognize that. Section 327.4109 addresses anchoring and mooring prohibitions, and what we're doing there is we are extending the buffer of a no mooring zone from 300 feet to 500 feet around a super yacht repair facility. Those are very large vessels, large facilities, so we're making sure that we're keeping that no mooring zone an additional 200 feet out. And finally, the last two things is the bill removes the no discharge language to conform to the Senate's position. And we also recognize that when it comes to marine sanitation and the required pump out that our bill will require, is that there are marine sanitation devices that are Coast Guard approved, but that do not have that discharge component. They are composting systems. So we're trying to recognize the most up-to-date technology. That is the amendment.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Okay. Any public testimony? Yes. Bonnie Basham, Boat Owners Association of the United States. All right. She waves in opposition. Any debate on the amendment? All right. Seeing none, Representative, you're closed. Recognize the close on the amendment. Or did you want to? Okay. You recognize the close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All right, having waived closed, members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Yay. All opposed. All right, we'll show the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. All right, Bonnie Basham, Boat Owners Association of the United States. Are you? You're recognized.
I don't believe Bonnie is here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe I have a speaker card pending with you. The name is Jerry Paul. I represent a host of cruising associations, primarily the America's Great Loop Cruising Association, in collaboration with the Marine Trawler Owners Association, the Seven Seas Cruising Association, and the Fever Users Group, combined largest groups of cruising associations. That is to say, vessel owners who live and navigate in and out of Florida's waters from all over the world. They represent hundreds of thousands of boaters who, quite frankly, make up the vast majority of the economy in our local communities up and down Florida's coastal waterways. And we stand to first applaud the sponsor and the agency for coming forward with the bill. The agency put together a working group throughout the entire year, which all of our associations participated in. And I want to echo a couple of the comments or a couple of points that the sponsor made about the importance of the derelict vessel issue. And the associations have been at the forefront of helping come up with good policies to address that emerging issue over the years. And as you all know, those issues can be kind of dicey because they become very subjective. What is one person's derelict vessel may be another person's yacht. But there are some instances where you just know it when you see it. And so we applaud the representative for all of the provisions in the bill that deal with the derelict vessels. He mentioned being proactive, removing them ahead of time, very specific, precise authorities that this legislative body would enact in order to help address that issue. We stand today in opposition to the bill as it currently stands, however, largely because of a provision that exists at 154 and 155 for those who are tracking the bill. And it is a extraordinarily massive, perhaps unintended, but massive delegation of authority from the legislature, the legislative branch, to the agency to adopt anything else that an executive branch agency determines is appropriate. Now, we suspect that the intent of that language is not to be so overbroad. In fact, we brought this to the attention of FWC, and we brought to them options for resolving that, either to make such new provisions subject to the approval of the legislature or to delete that provision altogether. The agency kindly responded back that they would be fine with that being removed altogether. And we're hopeful to work with the sponsor going forward to accomplish that. And at the risk of belaboring the point, but for those who will read that provision, what they'll see is that after a host of very specific authorizations by the legislative branch to an executive branch agency for very relatively minor things, asking the legislature for authority to purchase anchor line and rope, pretty specific stuff, but then after that saying, and also anything else they want. It's the anything else that they could want that is very dangerous. In fact, it's probably the broadest delegation of authority that I've seen. This is my 30th legislative session. I've never seen one that's this broad. Now, it is in the context of derelict vessels, but for those of us who are on the water, and I see a lot of my friends who I know are saltwater heroes and members of the Saltwater Caucus and spend time on the waters, you know that just about anything can be associated with a derelict vessel. In fact, every provision in the bill could be. So we look forward to working with the sponsor going forward and working with the agency and working with the future chairs to make sure that we get that one final correction. And I appreciate your time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir.
All right, so I'm going to go to Rob Rowe, Florida, our FWC. Major Rowe, right, the proponent of the bill. Jessica Crawford, I didn't see you there. Waves in support, thank you. Jessica Crawford, FWC, waves in support. John Moyle, Moyle Law Firm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm John Moyle with the Moyle Law Firm, and I represent the Florida Inland Navigation District. The Florida Inland Navigation District has been around a long time, since 1927, and its focus is pretty singular. It is charged with keeping the intercoastal waterway clear so that vessels can go north and south up and down the intercoastal. Not only recreational vessels, but there's a lot of commercial traffic on the intercoastal, fishermen and others. A lot of what they do to keep the intercoastal clear is to make sure there aren't shoals and sandbars and things like that, but they also keep an eye on regulatory matters to make sure that there aren't unnecessary regulations that unduly impose upon the ability to navigate. And this bill is a comprehensive FWC bill. There are two issues that I wanted to bring to your attention today. We've been in some discussions with FWC and communicating with the sponsors, and we appreciate the comments and the question earlier that maybe we can figure this out. But let me just point out the two questions that have arisen that are of concern. Current law right now says that local governments, county and municipalities, cannot act to put their own laws in place in the intercoastal. There's a law that says they just can't do it, and it's 327.602C. Locals may not enact any law, quote, regulating any vessel upon the Florida intercoastal waterway. So that's current law as we sit here today. I would argue that's good policy for a handful of reasons. One, the state of Florida, all of this is sovereign submerged lands, and so it's the state's ownership interest underneath. Secondly, if you allowed every local government to put in place their own rule and regulation without any kind of limitation, you're going to probably have a whole hodgepodge of different rules and regulations. And I think the legislature was right when they originally enacted that law that said, no, let the intercoastal not be the province of the local government. So the legislature can enact laws, and they have enacted laws like they're doing today to address that. But this bill on lines 1065 to 1069 goes in and uses some notwithstanding language, and it says, notwithstanding 327.60.2C, which is the language that says locals can't regulate the intercoastal, it provides, the way we read it, for the local governments to enact a whole host of laws except laws related to swimming areas. And so that's an issue that it's an unintended consequence issue. We hope that we can discuss it and work through it. I grew up in Palm Beach County, spent a lot of time in Broward County. There are a lot of municipalities in Broward County, and if you could figure a captain trying to go through and keep up with all of the rules and regulations for each jurisdiction, we think it's an unworkable situation. A lot of people analogize the intercoastal to I-95 with water on it, and we surely don't allow local governments to put in place speed limits on I-95 and a whole bunch of regulations regulating traffic on the interstate system, nor should we do it on the intercoastal waterway. So that is a chief concern I wanted to share with the committee. A related concern, I think we have a lot to be proud of with the space program, the historical aspects of the space program. We're entering into a new age, but there is language in the bill that expands the ability beyond the Coast Guard to all kinds of local governments to say, we're shutting down the area, including the intercoastal. And I don't think the facts at this time warrant that, because whenever you have a space launch right now, Representative, you're familiar with the area being from Merritt Island, they shut the Banana River off because the Banana River is a lot closer to Cape Canaveral. They don't shut the intercoastal off. So if you're going up and down the intercoastal, you can transit through, And I think we are looking for some language just to say, let's continue the status quo. You don't have the authority to shut the intercoastal down. If at some point in the future there's new space facilities where it becomes closer to the intercoastal, maybe it's time to come back and consider it now. But we don't think the current situation calls for the regulation to allow a whole host of local governments to shut down the intercoastal with no real limitations about how far in advance or other things. So those are the two chief points of concern. I do appreciate the response to the question with respect to locals and increasing anchoring areas. And we think that, or mooring fields, we think particularly if you're going to do some things to limit anchoring and put restrictions in, that having mooring fields is a good public policy. So wanted to leave the committee with that broad policy thought. But thank you for giving me some time to share those thoughts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Moyle. Jeffrey Sharkey, City of St. Petersburg. Ways and support. Robert Reyes, Monroe County Board of County Commissioners. Ways and support. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Ways and support. Robert Stewart, Canaveral Port Authority. Ways and support. M. Stevens, Florida Airboat Association, waves and support. Melanie Bostick, Pensacola Shipyard, Marina, and Boatyard, waves and support. All right, that concludes public testimony. We are now in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? Any debate? Yes, Representative Roach, thank you. You're recognizing debate.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative. I just wanted to say I hope to work with you on the boating safety course provision. I kind of worry about what that will do to our rental industry. But as a former Coast Guard officer who has spent many, many, many hours on these waterways, I love and applaud the derelict vessel provision. Those were the bane of my existence. So there were probably thousands of people all over the state cheering for you. So thank you, sir.
Anyone else in debate? All right. So the last couple of years, I've sat on the Duval County Waterways Commission as the legislative representative and learned a lot about derelict vessels and the problems they cause, not only to the natural environment, but to homeowners along the waterways when a derelict vessel breaks free and smashes into somebody's dock and damages it, or when we have a tropical storm or hurricane coming, just the frantic nature that causes with many of these boats. And this is a very tricky issue to navigate, no pun intended, because you're dealing with federal law, state law, sometimes local regulations, and we only have one waterway. We can't build more roads to accommodate the numbers of boaters out on the water, and that's a great thing. We love our natural resources, and we want people to enjoy it, but this is a very tricky issue, and I know you're the right person to help work with the different interest groups to do that. So with that, saying no further debate, I'll recognize you to close on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm aware of our time, but there's a couple points that I want to cover for the benefit of the committee and moving forward. First of all, the education piece is a work in progress, and I appreciate your comments, and be careful what you wish for, because I will take you up on your expertise. But I think one of the challenges that we're grappling with is how do you acknowledge the fact that there are Floridians like us who being on the water and operating a boat is just like being in our vehicle, you know, and driving, and it's that familiar to us, and that's how comfortable we are. But you have to, we also, I think, have an obligation to consider the new Floridian that maybe moves down, retires here from Chicago or some other place perhaps, is not familiar with the rules on the water, is not familiar with how to operate a boat, and all of a sudden they find themselves, you know, with triple, you know, 350s on the back, and it's a 40-foot CV. You know, they I think there should be some acknowledgement that they've got some learning to do on behalf of their own operation of their vessel. But for those of us that are also on the water, we want to be safe as well. So I think there's some space there for us to try to figure out how to balance, you know, welcoming newcomers, making sure that they've got the education that they need while respecting the fact that Floridians are seafaring people. And I think that's important. It's important for us to continue to work on. On the subject of derelict boats, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments. That's another box we have to check off, committee members. I think about last session, certainly working with Chair Byrd, Representative Gregory Fetterhoff, and others. We have historic investments in water quality projects, and we're seeking appropriations to bring back home to serve our water quality. derelict boats is a huge problem when it comes to the health and maintenance of our waterways. And I believe very strongly that that's the next box that we need to check off the list. The comments that were made earlier regarding the intercoastal waterways and the rules we have in place or have proposed for municipalities to create different slow speed zones and accommodate different boating exclusion zones. I would contend that our intercoastal waterway, which is the federal channel that runs north and south along the east coast of Florida, is not I-95. I would liken it to US 1. And that I wish I could take credit for that, but somebody shared that comment with me. It passes through our communities and neighborhoods. It's a unique waterway, and I think it deserves specific attention through various communities that it passes through. And certainly the needs and use of the intercoastal waterway, much different in Brevard County as it would be in Miami-Dade County. So I think it's appropriate for each municipality to be able to consider things like bridges, mooring fields, beaches, and swimming areas. I remain committed, as I was at the first committee stop, to continuing to work with stakeholders, and I very much appreciate your favorable support today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Lindsay, please call the roll on CS for HB 639 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon? Bussada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams? Chair Bird?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show CS for HB 639 reported favorably as amended.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Next up, we have CS for HB 319, Substance Abuse Service Providers by Representative Caruso. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair Byrd, Vice Chair Brannon, and Ranking Member Grieco, and members for the opportunity to present 319 titled Substance Abuse Service Providers. Certified recovery residences offer drug and alcohol-free living environments for individuals in recovery. Florida law provides for voluntary certification of these recovery residences and administrators by the DCF. Some of many requirements approved by FAR under the certification include no presence of drugs and alcohol, curfews, good neighbor policies, discharge policies, certified administrator oversight, and many more. These certified recovery residences are the good actors in the recovery industry. Over the past 2 years, I've passed legislation related to the recovery industry, which has cleaned up or weeded out the bad actors in the industry. Today, this bill continues the objective to best serve those fighting addiction. The Department of Children and Families, DCF, licenses these substance abuse treatment programs. The bill makes it a third-degree felony to willfully, knowingly, make a false representation on a substance abuse provider license application or to omit any material facts from said application. The bill requires licensed service providers who are fined by final order of the DCF to pay fines and interest, and the failure to pay these fines within 60 days shall result in the immediate suspension of their license. The bill also restores the exception and allows patient referrals to or from certified recovery residences if the referral is made by a licensed certified service provider under contract with a certified managing entity. The bill further authorizes DCF to determine through level two background checks if an owner, director, CEO, or administrator of a recovery residence qualifies for exemption from employment disqualification. And lastly, the bill prohibits a reclassification of occupancy type under the building codes for single family and two family residences that convert to certified recovery residences or Oxford houses and prohibits any code requirement of these residences from requiring the installation of fire sprinklers due to such use. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, there is an... Representative Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. When you stated about reclassification for single-family homes to meet the requirement for fire suppression system, they are not allowed to do that, or are they allowed to do that and reclassify the?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Great question, Representative Williams. the under federal law, you're not allowed to discriminate based on handicap, and those in recovery are classified as handicapped. So to put a fire sprinkler restriction on them at the state level, where we'd have to install fire sprinklers, would go against the federal law, and it based on discrimination. So we cannot discriminate. So what this law does, what the bill does, is it brings us in line with the federal law.
So are they allowed to put the fire suppressant in a single-family home to turn it into a center to assist?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, they are allowed to. They're just not required to.
Any other questions? All right. We do have two amendments. First, we're going to take up barcode 957209. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first amendment is to keep the wording similar to standard practices in criminal code. The word changes to stay consistent. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Are there questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none. Is there public testimony on the amendment? None. Debate on the amendment? No debate. You recognize the close on the amendment?
Waive close.
If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay. Opposed? All right, we'll show that amendment 957209 adopted. Next, we will consider amendment barcode number 386893. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The second amendment includes language we worked on with the fire marshals on how to classify sober homes with regards to fire sprinklers and the safety of recovery residents while keeping state and local law in line with federal law to avoid discrimination lawsuits.
Thank you. Having explained the amendment, are there questions? Are there questions? All right, none. Public testimony on the amendment? None. Debate on the amendment? None. You recognize the waive close on the amendment?
Waive close.
Thank you. Members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Yay. Opposed? All right, we'll show that amendment adopted. We are now back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. Right. Says Jessica Crawford from FWC. She just left. I'm thinking maybe that was a mistake, but she's a proponent of the bill. Eric Prussman, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspection Association. Waves in support. Thank you. Barney Bishop, Smart Justice. Waves in support. Robert Stewart, Change Everything. Proponent of the bill. Waving in support. Tanette Graham, Florida Association of Counties. Waves in support. That is all the public testimony. We are in debate. Debate on the bill is amended. All right, Representative, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill continues on cleaning up the sober homes in Florida and by punishing bad faith actors, strengthening the building code to account for sober homes, and incentivizing sober homes to become certified. That is the bill. With that, I close.
Thank you for that. Lindsay, please call the roll on CS for HB 319 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon? Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Betterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Bird?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show CS for HB 319 reported favorably as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
All right. Next up, House Bill 1049, Use of Drones by Government Agencies by Representative Gia Lombardo. You are recognized to present the bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. HB 1049 expands the ability for eight government agencies to use drones to provide law enforcement agencies with the aerial perspective of a crowd of 50 or more, to assist law enforcement agencies with traffic management. They are not allowed to use drones for citing traffic infractions, to facilitate law enforcement agencies to collect evidence at a crime scene or traffic scene, for state agencies and political subdivisions to assess damages due to flooding, wildfire, natural disasters, for vegetation, wildfire management on publicly owned land or water. And by certified fire department personnel to perform tasks within the scope of the practice of their certification. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the drone bill? Use of drones, Skynet. Come on, somebody's got to have Terminator. You've seen? All right. Okay, so there are no questions on the bill. There is an amendment, barcode number 502301, recognized to explain the amendment.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. On the component where it's crowds 50 or more, it's going to require law enforcement agencies to establish all policies and procedures in order to do that, as well as for the head of the agency to be able to sign off on any type of using of drone crowds 50 or more. It will also require all government or all agencies using these drones to practice certain cybersecurity measures to ensure that the data collected is encrypted and all everything, the flight plan and logs and everything is protected. And that is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. Are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment. All right. Public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. All right. Representative, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All right. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay, yay. Opposed, no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff Association. You're recognized.
I will be extremely brief. I want to thank the bill sponsor as well as Chair Byrd and committee staff for all their hard work on this bill. We were supportive of the amendment as well as the bill now that is amended and would just look forward to your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Cave, Leon County Sheriff's Office. Waves in support. Eric Prussman, Florida Fire Chiefs Association. Wave in support. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice. Waves in support. Tara Taggart, Florida League of Cities. Waves in support. Jennifer Pritt, Florida Police Chiefs Association. Wave in support. All right. See no further public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate. Going once. All right. Aww. Thank you, Representative Snyder.
I didn't want to leave you hanging, Mr. Chairman, so thank you that. I just wanted to say, Rep. Gia Lombardo, thank you so much for this great bill. I've got a number of family members that are in law enforcement. I know this is something that they've been pushing for a long time, and your willingness to engage all stakeholders and really come up with a common sense bill is commendable, and so just want to say thank you for that and urge all members to vote up on this great bill. Thank you.
Anyone else in debate? Nope. All right. In your close, if you could, because the amendment, I don't know that nobody picked up on it or people didn't ask about it, but foreign influence and the ability to maybe hack into the drones, and that is the purpose of the amendment. So maybe if you could touch on that in your close, just to reassure people or people at home watching that that we're making sure that nobody's gonna mess with the drones. So with that, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the amendment, there was a cybersecurity component to ensure that any foreign adversaries or anybody couldn't breach the drone and redirect it or spoof GPS it. So in this part, we talked about the internet portion, making sure that if they do use the internet to transfer video feed, that there is an encryption piece to that, and they're required to use certain CJIS compliant measures for it, so which most of them are already doing that. So, and that I close.
Thank you. Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 1049 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon? Besada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show House Bill 1049 reported favorably as amended. Thank you. Next up, we have House Bill 673, DNA Evidence Collected in Sexual Offense Investigations by Representative Slossberg. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member Grieco. House Bill 673, Gail's Law, came about as a request from Gail Gardner, a resident of Orlando, who was brutally sexually assaulted. Her sexual assault kit sat on a shelf for over three decades untested. She's here today, and you'll hear from her in testimony. Gail's law would require Florida Department of Law Enforcement to create and maintain a statewide database for tracking sexual assault evidence kits from the point of collection throughout the entire process. This bill would also require FDLE to make information from that database available to victims of sexual assault should they want it. Let me walk you through the process. When the victim submits to an examination, there is a barcode that will be attached to the kit. That kit with the barcode is scanned at each stop through the process, and the status updates are provided in a confidential victim portal. The victim is given a login and password that gives her access to the online portal. Due to the backlog of kits, in 2016, the legislature passed legislation requiring kits be sent to the crime lab for analysis within 30 days, and that the process be completed within 120 days. This bill creates additional accountability measures and empowers victims to feel a sense of control over their case. The bill gives FDLE up to 2023 to phase in the database. 30 other states maintain a statewide tracking system for sexual assault kits. 22 states passed victim notification laws, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Schlossberg, having explained the bill. Members, are there questions? Questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, we do have an amendment, barcode number 069869. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. This amendment requires FDLE to adopt rules establishing the requirements for all participating entities.
Questions on the amendment? All right, is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, debate on the amendment? Recognized to close on the amendment?
I waive close.
Having waived close, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay. Yay.
Opposed? All right, show the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. Gail Gardner. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being with us today, and it's nice to see you in person and not on a Zoom call. So you're recognized, ma'am.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Byrd and the committee members for hearing my testimony this afternoon. I am Gail Frances Gardner. I am Gail Frances Gardner, and some family members, they call me G, through the third power. A resident of Orange County, but for a quick reference as to who I am the woman whose rape kit sat on the FDLE shelf for 32 years without being tested while her serial rapist was incarcerated, living out two life sentences. In 1988, while living in the Washington Shores, Malibu communities, I was brutally raped by an intruder. My youngest son was sleeping with me at the time. Although I called and reported the rape, it was taken to the hospital and a rape examination was performed, I never heard any more from the local police department, despite living in the same town and working for the county of that same town where the rape happened. And spent 32 years in fear, not knowing where the rapist was. Back then and at times now, I am still acquainted with paranoia. It was not until 2015 that I could sleep straight through the night. I would be looking through the blinds, sleeping with lights on and calling the police because of every strange yet unfounded noise. I felt safer when I was outside of the home or sleeping as a guest or at a hotel than I did in my own home, regardless of where it was. From listening to the survivors over the last few years, I know I am not alone. Fast forward, in 2019, I visited the local police department to ask for a copy of my records. I was told by the detective my case was still open. In 2020, almost to the day, I found out that my kit was tested and my rapist was finally identified by DNA, and it was linked to other cases. He was a serial rapist. I also learned he had been in prison for most of the 32 years while I suffered wondering if he would hurt me again. For survivors, our journey will never be completely over, and healing is a process, if at all, for some who wake in the middle of the night screaming as I have done in the past. We never yet get over it, but we can see closure and make sure generations to come will be left a better legacy by passing Gail's law. Survivors deserve to have information about their rape kits. They deserve to not spend their life as I did, not knowing and living in fear. Speaking for myself as a survivor and advocate on behalf of survivors of rape in the present and future, we are requesting of this committee, number one, survivors want mandatory retracking of rape kits and a system with a victim portal for survivors to check the status of their kits throughout the process. And two, survivors want a tracking system in order to prevent future backlogs and ensure hospital, law enforcement, and labs are testing kits swiftly. I urge you to pass this bill and bring information and answers to survivors who deserve to know. Thank you for hearing my testimony today.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner, and we appreciate your courage and advocacy being with us today and telling us your story. We really appreciate that. All right. Next, we have Barbara Devane, Florida National Organization for Women, Waves in Support. Lauren Gallo, League of Women Voters, Waves in Support. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice, Waves in Support. That's all the public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Debate on the bill. Yes, Representative Barnaby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Mrs. Gardner for this powerful testimony, and I am in full support. I commend Representative Schlossberg for bringing this to this committee, and let's vote unanimously in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Schlossberg, you recognize the close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I, too, want to start off by saying thank you to Gail Gardner for traveling more than 100 miles to Tallahassee to testify today. It took a lot of courage to do what you're doing. I want to thank the Speaker of the House and the Chair for putting this bill on the agenda. I also want to thank survivor advocacy groups, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Florida Sheriff's Association, the police chiefs, the Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, for all of your hard work in helping craft this legislation. There are over 8,000 reported rapes in Florida each year, and that figure could be three times higher as many go unreported. Rape is a lifelong sentence for Gail and so many others. What is so important about this bill? This bill is important for Gail and every rape victim in the state of Florida. No victim should have to watch her attacker escape justice just because evidence from a sexual assault kit was lost or not processed. No victim should be left in the dark about the status of her case or the evidence collected. This bill gives future assault survivors the opportunity for justice that they deserve. How many of you track a package on Amazon Prime, track a pizza through Domino's, track your dinner through DoorDash or Uber Eats? Why should we be able to track a pizza more efficiently than we can track evidence in a criminal case? This is something that the state should already be doing. One last point I want to make. When we are sitting on the floor of the House voting on issues, and we look around the room on the floor of the House, we look up and we see photos of the former speakers. All of them are men. They are good men, but if those photos were of women, Gail and I would not be here today begging for this legislation that is critical to women's issues to pass. I close.
Thank you. Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 673 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Lusada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show House Bill 673 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations, Ms. Gardner. Thank you for being with us. Right. Next up, Representative Benjamin, who's been waiting very patiently with us today, is recognized to explain House Bill 527, Visiting County and Municipal Detention Facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Brannon,
Ranking Member Grieco, and committee members, thank you for hearing HB 527. Currently under the law, state representatives, cabinet members, the governor, state judges, state attorneys, and public defenders have unfettered access to our state prison system. And so HB 527 seeks to extend that same privilege to our county partners for their correctional detention centers. So HB 27 authorizes that the governor, cabinet members, members of the state legislature, state court judges, state attorneys, and public defenders shall have free access without prior notice to county and municipal detention centers. That is the bill.
Thank you for the explanation. Members, are there questions of the bill sponsor? Questions on the bill? All right, seeing none, we do have an amendment, barcode number 971687. Representative Benjamin, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment seeks to revise the authorized personnel to the elected officials within the county in which they were elected. So an elected official that's elected out of Miami-Dade County would be able to visit with unfettered access county detention centers in Miami-Dade County, and so on and so forth throughout the several counties of the state.
Thank you for the amendment. Oh, thank you for the explanation on the amendment. Are there questions on the amendment? Nope. Public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. All right. You recognize the close on the amendment.
We have close on the amendment.
Thank you. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay. Opposed. All right. We will show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. No public testimony. Members, are there a debate on the bill as amended? Debate on the bill. All right. Oh, Representative, our Ranking Member Grieco, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a great bill. I was talking to some folks earlier about this, that the local jails are really the tip of the spear when it comes to the treatment of folks, because when you visit prisons, you're visiting people who have been convicted of a crime. When you're visiting jails, you're many times visiting people who have been simply accused of crime. Because for those that don't know, local jails only house really two types of people, which are people who are pending trial or people who have been sentenced to less than 365 days in custody. And when you've been accused and you're sitting in jail, it's either because you can't afford your bond or because you're being held no bond. Your bond's been revoked or it's a non-bondable offense. And the conditions listen, I'm a Miami guy, and this is going to come out the wrong way, but I've spent more time in jail than anybody here. I can assure you that is unfortunately a product of my profession, but I will tell you, I can leave whenever I want, and it is not a fun place. And I've visited plenty of prisons, but local jails, whether it be from, and I've seen throughout the state, not just Miami-Dade, I mean, even Daytona, Northwest Florida as well. If this bill passes, I am challenging and encouraging everybody on this committee to take advantage of it. If you haven't visited a state prison, essentially, if you sit on this committee, it's your duty to do so. We sit on the Criminal Justice Subcommittee. If you have never visited a prison since you've been elected, I'm going to challenge every one of you over the summer, because you're on this committee next year too. Go to a prison. I'll go with you. It's important. It's essential to what we do. It's part of the process. This isn't just about law and order and being tough on crime. This is about having a full grasp of the entire criminal justice system. Great bill, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Any further debate? Yes, Representative Bush, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Benjamin, I want to say that this is a good bill that you presented today. I also want to say to this committee, I've had the privilege of working in the jail system. Back in the 90s when I was here in the legislature, my county, Miami-Dade County, we had some major serious issues in our local jails, so much so that we had delegation members not only from Miami-Dade County but from Broward. We had to go in and observed, and those issues were corrected back during that time. But I think it's a good step in the right direction to have another set of eyes, individuals coming in and perusing and giving an update on where we are with our jail system. So the local jail system. So I want to say, as one of the members from my county, we want to thank you for bringing forth such a good bill, and I'm in 100% support of it. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much.
Representative Bush, any further debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Benjamin, you're recognized to close on your bill.
And Mr. Chairman, I waive close.
Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 527 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show House Bill 527 reported favorably as amended. All right, next up we have House Bill 1275, Vessel Collisions, Accidents, and Casualties, by Ranking Member Grieco, who is making his way to the podium so he can look us all in the eye. Was that a thumbs down? Bush is already telegraphing what's going to happen on this bill. All right, Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Brannon, Ranking Member Grieco, and the rest of the committee. This is HB 1275. It is probably a longer glitch bill than anything else. Boating safety, reckless boating, and leaving the scene of boating accidents is obviously a very important issue. Right now, we have more significant penalties for traffic collisions, similar types of traffic collisions on our roads, and they don't match up with our boating regulations. And I think it was more of an oversight than anything else as the statutes changed and the penalties were enhanced for vehicles. They weren't done so for the boating regulations. So for reckless boating right now, if there's serious bodily injury, it's a misdemeanor. While if you are driving in a car recklessly and there's serious bodily injury, it's a third degree felony. Currently, if you leave the scene of an accident while boating, with or without injury, serious bodily injury, or death, it's all a misdemeanor. So all that this does is this creates a scenario where our boating regulations then catch up with our driving regulations. It would increase penalties for serious bodily injury, for reckless boating, for leaving the scene of an accident with injury and death, and it would catch us up on the DUI manslaughter penalties when it comes to minimum mandatories. And that is the bill.
Thank you. The ranking member having explained the bill, members, are there questions? Questions? Yes. Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick question. Would this encompass jet skis as well?
It would.
The other bane of my existence. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
It would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone else for questions? All right. There are no amendments on the bill. Public testimony? No public testimony. Any debate? Debate on the bill? Yes, Representative Rizzo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ranking Member, thank you very much for bringing this forward. I'm an avid boater, and we come from the same county. And you know that there's some, that's a new, what you see on the water down there sometimes is a whole new kind of crazy. And so it is extremely dangerous at times. Driving on the roads, there's guidelines pretty much. Very little guidelines when driving out on Biscayne Bay or on the water in general. So thank you very much for this. It's a great bill, and I look forward to voting yes on it.
Any further debate? All right. You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a brief close. So last year in Miami-Dade County, we had a boater who killed one of his own occupants and fled the scene, and he could only be charged with a misdemeanor. Frustration for prosecutors. When people are maimed, people are killed, due to the recklessness of others, and this would simply create a deterrent and create the appropriate punishment for when people do just that. And with that, I close. Thank you.
Thank you. Ranking Member Grieco having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 1275 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Quezada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams? Chair Byrd?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show House Bill 1275 reported favorably. And last but not least, we have House Bill 363, Privileged Communications Made to Crime Stopper Organizations, by Representative Chambliss, who's making his way to the podium. Representative Bush, what are we doing on this one? Are we up or down on? All right. You're recognized, Representative Chambliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So HB 363, Privileged Communications Made to Crime Stoppers Organization. This bill is about one of the probably most important organizations in the South Dade community, as well as the rest of the state. You see, in my community, we deal with numerous amounts of gun violence as well as other crimes, and it's something that has plagued our community for decades. And many times, the difference between having a high number of contact shootings that include the deaths of children, teenagers who throw their lives away, the difference between that scenario and all of those children going on to college and becoming the next doctors and lawyers is evidence, is the information, is people in the community being able to give that information without fear of death. One of the reasons that currently doesn't exist is because we know that when that information, or when the people who commit those crimes know who the individuals are who are going to, for example, give that public testimony, many times their life is truly in danger, and many times that actually comes to pass. And so in support of an organization like Crime Stoppers that is able to safely and anonymously receive information so that law enforcement can go and get the bad guys off the streets, we have this particular bill. So HB 363, what it does is it provides immunity to individuals acting in the scope of their employment on Crime Stopper tips. It makes it a third degree felony for any individual to receive information concerning a privileged communication. Provides the subsection that it does not apply to employees, board members, or volunteers of a Crime Stoppers organization while acting in the scope of employment. Provides that a person who receives, forwards, or acts on that privileged communication in the scope of employment is immune from civil liability for damages resulting from acts, omissions in the performance of their duties or functions unless intentional, willful, wantonly, negligent, or done with conscious indifference or reckless disregard for safety of others, and provides that Crime Stopper communications can't be relied on for probable cause or admissible in court. So it protects the employees, or better protects the employees of Crime Stoppers and the process into which those tips may be received and are handled. That is the bill, sir, and there is an amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Okay. So there is an amendment, barcode 020867. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment clarifies some original language in the bill. It clarifies that a person who illegally discloses or receives privileged Crime Stoppers tips must do so knowingly and willfully. It removes the portion of the bill prohibiting a Crime Stoppers tip from being used to determine probable cause, as current law already prohibits such use. It removes portion of a bill prohibiting a Crime Stopper's tip from being admissible or subject to discovery in any court proceeding, as that conflicts with current law. Also provides that an anonymous tip may only be used to assist with law enforcement agency's investigation of a crime, requires a person's act or omission to be intentional or grossly negligent for him or her to be liable for civil damages, and makes other technical changes to clean up the language of the current statute. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? All right, public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. Debate on the amendment? No debate. Recognize the close on the amendment?
I waive close.
All right, thank you. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Yay. Opposed? All right, we will show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill. Public testimony. Arnie Bishop, Florida Smart Justice, waiving in support. See no further public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Debate on the bill. All right, seeing no debate, you recognize the close. Representative Chambliss.
Again, it's important to support organizations like Crime Stoppers because I think we all know and all want safer communities, and we all, you know, shoot for that purpose, specifically on this committee. And organizations like Crime Stoppers allow communities to actually stand up and speak out for their community, but to do so safely and anonymous. And again, I look forward to all of your support on this bill.
Thank you. Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 363 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart? Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Bird?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
By your vote, show House Bill 363 reported favorably as amended. All right, members, that concludes the bills on our agenda for today. I appreciate your time and attention. We will not meet again until next Thursday, so we do have a little bit of a break before we gather again. So with that, Judge General Representative Maney moves we rise without objection. The meeting is adjourned.